He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut.
We're hearing more and more about neurovirus being a real issue. In fact, it was earlier this month they had to shut down an elementary school in West Hartford because more than 100 students, and I'd imagine faculty, got sick from neurovirus. And ultimately, they had about a four-day weekend to kind of recover, disinfect the school, bring everybody back. But neurovirus has been reported a lot in just the last few weeks. And it is something that we actually talked to Dr. Brown about, I'd say, in the spring of 2025. We were hearing it kind of popping up again, especially on cruise ships. But it's certainly something that we had a lot of listeners from WICC want to talk about with him again today. So here he is, Dr. Brown. Welcome back. So glad to have you here. Let's talk neurovirus.
Thanks, Melissa. It's a good topic.
You're like,
to
thanks.
Talk about.
Can't wait.
I mean, Before we start, I'm very impressed. Listen, about
what?
Sort of already, the cruise ships and kind of having that understanding. See,
Dr. Brown, listen, I know that you probably think I get off this show every day at 10:01 and I don't care about the things that go on. I remember every conversation we have, and what's crazier about my brain, it doesn't do an awful lot effectively, but for some reason I remember when I'm interested in a topic, I remember time frame ish of when we talked about it. And I want to say it was April of last year that we heard about cruise ships having neurovirus outbreaks again. And you were like, yeah, this sort of happens because it's kind of closed environments. It's easy to spread. And so I thought, well, cruise ships kind of like schools. I don't know. I wanted to tie the two together.
You're exactly right. That's exactly right. See? So it's actually norovirus, N-O-R-O, norovirus.
What am I saying? Am I saying neuro?
Yeah.
You're like, and this is why you're not an infectious disease expert. So I'm saying, how do you say it? Noro?
It's noro, N-O-R-O.
Like Nora, but noro.
Noro, yeah.
So not, I don't spell it that way. Like, I don't spell it neuro, N-E-U-R. I've been spelling it N-O-R-O, but I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah.
Noro.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just want to.
You're not a jerk at all. I need to be corrected.
A neurovirus is actually a little bit different. You don't want to, and that's really something that's focused on the brain and the spinal cord.
Now I'm going to overthink it though. So that thing that you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. So,
norovirus.
Norovirus. So we're good.
Also, sometimes called the Norwalk virus or Norwalk.
Don't say no, Norwalk. No. See now you're just starting rumors. Don't start that. No,
right,
no,
enough.
No,
it
no.
Is, but okay.
Noro.
So the norovirus is actually a very infectious virus. And yes, it is associated, and this is a really tricky one, because not only is it associated with close contacts, spreading in particular. It can also be associated with foods. In particular, it can be associated. Weirdly enough, it's associated with oysters, and can cause a pretty significant infection. It causes it's interesting because a lot of people who get norovirus think they have food poisoning. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea aspect of it, and the key to it, to say that it's not sort of just one of those GI bugs. The key is that a lot of other people get it around the same time. So as opposed to those other GI viruses that you have, and then maybe a few days later your coworker will get it, and then maybe a few days later another coworker might get it, but it'll be very sporadic. This usually has a group of people who end up getting sick around the same time, and that's usually the telltale sign that they have norovirus.
How do you get sick so quickly? Because obviously it's very infectious, but even if you're in close proximity with somebody, even if you're not physically like you touch them or anything, people will still get it.
Correct. And it really comes down to two things. And the reason why it's cruise ships and daycare centers and schools and even elderly facilities, the reason is that it really comes down to two things. One is touching, touching hands, so having that close contact, and then touching your mouth or touching a surface. And that's sort of the big thing. So if the surfaces aren't clean, I haven't been cleaned with disinfectant, then that's how it spread. a little bit different than other things, a little different than other viruses, where some of the, you know, a majority of the respiratory viruses, you really need to be close to another person. It gets spread by droplets, and then it's spread that way. Even with flu, you know, it's close contact with the person. Again, that's about arm's length away. And then also what we call fomites. And fomites are where the viruses are sitting on a surface. And then we touch that, and then we touch our mouth and nose. The difference between the flu and noroviruses is that the norovirus is way more infectious. So if you touch the surface and then touch your mouth and nose, the likelihood that you get it is a lot higher than the likelihood of you getting the flu.
So half the battle, it sounds like, Dr. Brown, is that you've got clean surfaces. But the other part, it sounds like, is hygiene. So even if you were, let's say you're in close quarters. I had a friend of mine. Don't know why I'm losing my voice. I promise I'm not sick.
That's right. I was doing the same thing.
I'm right?
Not sick. I'm good.
I swear I'm not sick. It's so crazy as we're talking about this. It's like, just dying over here. I was talking to a friend whose daughter, you know, was pretty sure it was norovirus.
Mm-hmm.
Got it that
nice.
Time? Good.
Yeah, you got it.
And so he drove her home and he said, you know, but I cleaned all the surfaces and everything and I think I'm good. And I said, right, but did you also then like wash your hands, make sure? Because I think the other part
correct.
Of it is even if the surfaces are clean, even if you touched your mouth or in that area between the time that you were in the car and then going to that to me is like the other half of the battle is that you got to make sure your hands are clean.
That's absolutely correct.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, you do. You have to make sure your hands are clean. And the biggest issue is surfaces.
Okay.
And making sure that the surfaces are clean. And that's where this is a tricky one. Because of the closed surfaces, it's a little more hardy as a virus, meaning it can last a little bit longer.
Mm.
So it's really important, especially in the you know, the highly contagious areas, where there's food, water, you know, wet surfaces, the organism can stay there for a while. Usually it's about, and then you get the symptoms usually about 12 to 48 hours after you've been exposed to the virus.
So if you're outside that period of the 12 to 24 hours and you haven't seen a symptom, you're probably good.
Yeah, if you're out 3 days, then you're probably good.
Okay. I was hearing, Dr. Brown, that hand sanitizer is not enough for that hygiene, like to make sure your hands are clean. So people will leave hand sanitizer in their cars, for example, their purses, whatever. But if you have been exposed to somebody who is showing symptoms of it, that hand sanitizer was not enough. You should still go the extra mile and make sure you're washing your hands thoroughly.
Yes and no. So washing your hands is more effective, but when you have the convenience of the alcohol-based hand sanitizers are if they're there, they're definitely going to be helpful. They're not. The problem is that they may not eliminate everything. They are deemed to be sort of less effective,
but
they still work. They're not. So again, no double negative here, but they're not effective.
Ever since COVID, I've always left it on there. I have one that's attached to my car keys.
Sure.
I just keep it with me. And then the other one is I'll attach one to like Chase has one on his backpack. And I always say to him, you never know, especially with a 7-year-old, if he's ever going to wash his hands thoroughly. But I always say to him, between every single class that you do, you should just really quickly get into this habit. And I have it in the car for that exact reason. If you're ever exposed to somebody or if you're on the go, to have it with you if I don't have access to a sink really quick to do a thorough hand washing. But they're still effective, just not as effective as hand washing.
Yes, for this virus in particular. And then there's certain other organisms that it's not as effective, but these are the few that say maybe a little less effective. So what I would say in the rule of thumb is that, you know, for every few times that you use a hand sanitizer, you should be thinking about washing your hands.
Okay. So,
and it's nice because sometimes you get a little, if you use a hand sanitizer as much as we do in the hospital, at some point you're like, I got to wash my hands anyways.
You
start to feel sort of sticky no matter what it is.
Right. Well, and your hands, I think, dry out. I know for me, they dry out. That's why I always prefer to wash my hands. But yes, okay. So that's good because I was hearing reports that like don't even bother with the hand sanitizer. And I thought, well, that's new. Why?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I would say just keep in mind that it is less effective.
Okay. We've got Dr. Brown here for a few more minutes, and we were just talking about norovirus. And is there a season for norovirus?
It's interesting. There really is not.
Right?
It's not a seasonal virus.
It's like a you're inside it. And it spreads virus.
Yeah, it really does. So you typically see it. You do typically see it. So there are typical times, but I would say you can see it any time of the year. Typically, you will see it, dead winter, like now.
Sure.
Or the middle of summer on like cruise ships and events is usually when you see it. Because again, it can be a food poisoning kind of organism.
Got it. Okay. And there's, unless I'm wrong, there's not an effective like medication to treat it, right? You just kind of have to ride it out.
Nope, you are absolutely correct. Yes, there is not a treatment. And one of the problems about a virus like this is that it's very fast. So what happens is that you end up getting infected quickly. It's very infectious. It causes what it needs to cause, and then it leaves. So even if you had medication, even if we had an antiviral that worked for it, it wouldn't matter because by the time you realize that you have it, you take the medications, it only lasts 1 to 3 days. It's terrible, but it goes away very fast.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's important people to, know the signs. Certainly hygiene's important, clean the surfaces, all that good stuff, especially if you're mostly inside and you're around a lot of other people. So,
and as we've said before, I mean, especially in cruise ships, make sure you do your research. I know we talked about this a couple years back. Do your research if you are going to go on a cruise ship because, the likelihood that you're going to get a norovirus or there's going to be a norovirus outbreak is if they've previously had norovirus. Because, again, it is hard to eliminate, especially in something like a cruise ship.
So we've got Dr. Brown here for a couple more minutes. I know we touched on this the last time you came on, Dr. Brown, but there's been kind of a new surge of interest in this, and I'm sure it's going to kind of keep happening. This in particular came from families in the Milford area, but they posted what the current 2024-25 school year required immunizations list looks like. And it looks like it lists from preschool to till 12th grade. Obviously, there are immunizations now on that list that are no longer going to be on the list for starting, I would think, in the 2026-27 school year based on new recommendations from the CDC. And people want to know your take on it.
Absolutely.
Not from a political standpoint, but truly from like a health standpoint.
Yeah. And let me this is a little bit in my range, outside of my range. So I just want to let you know this is sort of my opinion. So the first thing is that my understanding, and again, don't quote me on this, but my understanding is that the states can still designate vaccines, even though the CDC has actually made
different recommendations. Okay.
So the state can do that. That is my understanding, and they still have it in peace. So again, that's my understanding. But again, that's not necessarily my expertise. That's more governmental and law. The second thing is that I think it's important to realize the risk that you're putting your children at by not getting certain vaccines that have now been taken off of the list. And it may not be immediate risk, but it may be later on risks. And I think that's really important to just keep that in the back of your mind. And I'll be the physician here and say, talk to your doc about it, because it's really important to know certain viruses, that if you're not giving them, if they ever get exposure in their life, then they will have that virus forever, including things like hepatitis B.
Okay.
So you're making a decision for lifelong for your child. So as you do all the time, but in general, this is one that is particularly confusing, and just make sure that you spend the time and understand why it was on there and why taking it off may not necessarily be the best thing.
Right now, only because this comment is a little bit confusing to me, is it's talking about the requirement of influenza. I didn't think that was a required vaccine. I thought that was the reason we're kind of seeing, in some regard, why flu seasons have gotten more. Well, it's a very infectious flu that we're dealing with right now, but maybe that's different than what I'm talking about. I didn't think influenza vaccines were mandatory.
They are.
Oh, they are.
Actually, really interesting. Yes. So, and maybe Chase My Feet is probably too old now.
Because this is for babies.
For pre-K. Yes.
Oh, I don't remember influenza being one. I mean, but that was on the list, right? Okay.
Pre-kindergarten. So it's actually pre-K.
Okay.
And it's ages 24 to 59 months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anything after 60 months is no longer required.
Interesting. Has it always been that way?
It's been that way for a while.
Hmm.
I don't know exactly where it is, but
I'm making you go down a rabbit hole of dates and stuff like that. I didn't realize that though. That was interesting to me.
Yes, this has actually come to me actually recently about that. But yes,
is that a different? Is that a different vaccine than the flu vaccine, or is that the same thing?
It's the flu vaccine.
That's what I thought. Okay,
yeah.
The flu vaccine is mandatory when you've got pre-K. Wow, I don't think I knew
because
that.
Because there's an increase. There's an increased risk of complications from children who get influenza at a younger age.
Got it. Interesting. I don't think I remember that. I hate to admit that, but I don't remember.
I mean,
he went to pre-K, so, you know, yeah. And obviously it's each parent's choice if they want to send their kid to pre-K or not. But that's interesting because we never did like daycare or anything like that. No, but he did go to pre-K. That's interesting. I don't remember that. Okay. All right. Listen, I'm going to go with your word on it. I did not realize that that was a mandatory vaccine for pre-K. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, like you said, it'll be interesting to see. I really want to get, you know, I don't mean to put you in the hot seat, Dr. Brown. It's really, I'd love to see what the Department of Public Health is going to do in Connecticut. I don't know if you've seen if they're kind of, not, I don't want to say defying the CDC, but if they're going to kind of keep the status quo where Connecticut is at, or if they're going to shift anything around. I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. I just, you know what, again, it really has to do with, I know we are, you know, we spend a lot of time focused on it. I know we have, you know, our commissioner, Dr. Jathani, she's actually an infectious disease doc.
Yes.
She actually trained a couple years before me at Yale. So I know she's going to be spending a lot of time focusing on that aspect of it. So it's actually nice to have someone who I know is, you know, very focused on sort of literature and sort of what's the best for our public.
Mm. Yeah. And definitely looking forward to hopefully talking to her about it, especially ahead of the 2026-27 school year. So I'll make calls on that. Dr. Brown, I always appreciate having you on the show. You're the best. Yes. Well, you're great. Okay. You're great. And I appreciate you always making the time for us. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again next week. That is Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health right here on WICC.